Welcome, everybody, to the Sunday edition of the Inside Outside Guys, housing information you can trust. We're starting at 9 a.m. Yes, your clocks are not messed up. We're going to be done around 11 a.m. And then I think Michigan State basketball is going to come to you. But Ken's not here. Ken is attending the wedding of his oldest son, Joel. And I asked a good friend to sit in with me this morning, Mr. Pat Kelly. Patrick, thanks, buddy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you came. I'm glad you drove all the way up here. And Pat always brings about 30 pounds worth of donuts. So we're going to be sitting here drinking coffee and eating fattening food, which is, that's okay.
Yep.
We can pretend we're in New Orleans, right? Put a little chicory in it. And but I'm excited for a couple of reasons, one of which is that you just got back from a conference where you claim to have learned something.
Hard to believe, but I did.
I thought you were no longer educable. Educable?
Yeah. It sounds right to me.
So looking forward to milking your brain. I always tell people when Pat's on the show, my goal is to shut up and let him talk. So that'll be my objective, buddy.
Very good.
I'm going to ask you questions. We're going to let our listeners ask you questions. The phone lines are going to be open throughout most of the show, 888-654-GUYS, 888-654-4897. What else? At 9:15, we've got, do I dare call her an old friend? I don't mean this chronologically. She's been a friend for a while. Becky Killarney from Great Lakes Ace is going to call in and talk about Novi next week.
Very good.
Novi Home Show. You going to come and have coffee with me next week or no?
Probably absolutely. Not. Absolutely. I'll be down there.
Yeah. God bless you.
I haven't been to one of those shows in a few years.
This is the one to go to. You know that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. This is the one where they have, it's the biggest show. I think they've got 100 and some exhibitors just on the arts and crafts side.
Hmm.
And probably twice that on the construction trade side.
You know what I always liked about that spring show is the first chance to go and see flowers. You know, and they always had flowers and stuff going on out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love the smell. Yeah, you walk in there. You're right. It feels like you want to feel, except it's February, right? Or is it January? Will that be late January? That'll be late January next weekend when we're at the Somerset Collection. Novi Home Show, and we're going to be giving away tickets twice today, Pat.
That's cool.
Packs of four, so that'll be cool. And if you show up, I'll gladly pay your way in if you'll let me.
Yeah, I tried calling yesterday to get one of those four packs, but I missed out.
You said, my name is Pat Kelly, and then you heard the dial tone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have to lie about who I am. Let me see, how much time do we got? 5 minutes. I want to dip my toe in the water. You said you heard us talking about furnace filters yesterday.
I did.
And wished you could call and comment.
Well, there's just a lot to talk about on filters, you know, what kind of filters to use. And you were talking about a MERV 11 or a MERV 13, and those are great, except for they're pricier.
Yeah.
So you get what you pay for on that. However, the higher the MERV rating, the less time they last in your furnace.
How come?
Well, because it picks up more particulate. So the old furnaces in the old days used to use the fiberglass filter you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's 7% particulate. What that means is it picks up 7% of the dust and the rest of it goes through your house.
So 93% of the dust running through your furnace is
going to
go right through that.
You know, and again, we used to think that hot and cold was common. It's not. What you're looking for today is comfort. But, but when you put in a high MERV filter, it picks up more stuff and it doesn't last as long. So I tell people this, the best filter, or in my opinion, the best way to get away with putting a filter in is you can buy a 3-packet like Home Depot for $7. You used to be able to. I don't know what they cost now. I have great big filters in my Geotherm and they're special order. So that's like I buy a box of three and it costs me like $60.
I buy a 3-pack of the 1-inch 3M.
Yep.
For my old, 80 or 85% unit that you and I have talked about. And I want to say they're probably $20-ish for three of them.
Yeah, you're probably a MERV 12, or I mean a MERV 11 or 13.
I think I'm 11,
Then with that, you would change that every month. With a MERV, let's say 8, you would change it every 2 months. And it all depends on how you use your
lifestyle,
health, you know, your lifestyle and stuff. But I would tell you that if you're a HEPA filter that you were talking about yesterday, that's once a week. I don't care who you are, you know.
They're so very efficient.
So let's talk about what we spoke about.
Yeah.
I think that we need to find a way to make a self-cleaning HEPA filter.
You're giving away our patent idea from breakfast.
Yeah, we could be sitting in Tahiti, you know, drinking umbrella drinks or something.
Somebody else will be.
Now. Oh well.
Got that idea from Pat Kelly. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The ones that kill me is you can buy one filter. 3M makes it. It's a white filter. It's $17 for your furnace. It's going to last less than a month. It's going to last maybe 2 weeks, and then you're going to have to pull it
because out. Because it's so very efficient.
And then when you're doing a filter, you got to be careful what kind of filters you use. Like, for instance, your furnace couldn't use HEPA. You just can't use it. You have to have something that'll adjust for static pressure. So...
What would be the negative consequence of me using too good a filter in my cheap?
Well, if you
furnace?
can't move the air, it's an energy cost is really what it is. Your fan won't shut off. It doesn't mean it's going to burn up your motor.
Okay,
but there's a lot of things that can happen. If you're not moving air through your furnace, you can overheat and crack your heat exchanger.
Okay,
if you're not moving enough air through your furnace, it's going to run all the time. Your energy bill is going to go up. So that's the negative effect of having a dirty filter.
Okay.
A lot of people would think, well, it's going to burn up the motor.
Or
that's
too
not
good
the case.
A filter. I mean, again, putting a HEPA filter.
Yeah. It can cause a lot of damage. It won't cause damage to your – a lot of people think that your motor uses more amperage or something like that. It's the exact opposite. The only time it's using amperage is when it's moving air, not when it's not moving air. So
makes sense.
I've actually –
Now that you say that, it makes sense.
Yeah, we used to do a class, used to teach a night school class, and you could put amp probe on the motor and then block off the airflow and watch what happens. The amp draw drops down.
Because there's no resistance on the motor?
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah, when you're moving air, you're using it. The other thing is...
The motor's working harder, so it's drawing more amps.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to take a break. We got to keep this discussion going. My problem and yours, the listener, will be that we want to keep hearing what Pat's got to say, but don't hesitate to call when we come back. Also want to remind you, if a storm blew through and you're finding pieces of shingles on the ground, we've got a company that works very closely with monitoring those storms and working with your insurance company. And, of course, we're talking about Mark Kramer over at Kearns Brothers Roofing. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Want to remind you that Ken is not with us today. He'll be back in Novi next weekend with me on Saturday. Right now, I've got Mr. Pat Kelly across from us. And Pat, I know you don't like the word, but I think you are an expert in terms of mechanical systems and buildings. That doesn't mean you don't. Pat's a lifelong student like I am. I think
that's one of the reasons. That's a good phrase.
You and I like each other. I think we're kindred spirits because we love learning.
I love learning.
And you can be an expert in your field based on your experience and your learning as of this date, because you certainly know more than anybody I know, and I know a lot of people, in a very it's a big lake and it's not shallow, you know, your body of information, your pool of information. A lot of people have a really big lake, but it's really shallow, their depth of information.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. The stuff that I know, a lot of the stuff I learn from my technicians, you know, that I add out in the field.
That are on the job site every day?
Yeah, I mean, because, again, I love to learn like you. So when they'd come back, I'd say, what did you find? And how did you find it? And how would you troubleshoot that? And so on and so forth.
You use this term troubleshooting a lot. We'll have to, as we go through the show today, talk more about that.
Okay.
Because I really do. I like that. I like backing into a problem solution. But right now, we've got a friend on the show that has ignored us for several years, Becky Killarney from Great Lakes Ace. Are you with us, Becky?
I am. You wounded me. I haven't ignored you. We've just been on parallel paths.
Where have you been, Becky? As soon as it's typical. Pat and I were commiserating that when we meet an intelligent woman, she ignores us after the first meeting. I'm hooting on you because I like you. Hope you don't mind.
No.
Are you going to be in Novi next week?
We will have crossing paths next weekend at the Novi Home Show. That's correct.
You want to tell people what they can expect there?
Well, at the Novi Home Show, there are a multitude of people who will be at the show that will have opportunity for people to troubleshoot what their issues are at home, right? Whether it has to do with plumbing or insulation or the next remodel project that you have taking on. We at Great Lakes Ace are there. We're going to have lots of fun things there for people, for backyard barbecue, outdoor power. You know, with the snow this morning, if it keeps building up, there's going to be a door prize for an Ego snowblower that we're providing the show, which is really nice. Hard to believe that people might need snowblowers moving forward, but we're good for one or two more snowfalls before this is all said and done and the flowers bloom. So when people come, they want to be sure and register for that door prize. It's the snowblower and some ice melt that the puppies can take, you know, have on their feet and not have it hurt them. And if you're looking for a little money savings to go to the show, if you stop by Great Lakes Ace, we're distributing buy one, get one free coupons for admission tickets to the show. So save a little money that way.
So how do we get those, Becky? We stop in a local Ace Hardware?
Yes.
Great Lakes Ace Hardware? Local,
mm-hmm. Yep. And just ask the cashier and they'll have the coupons for you. No purchase necessary.
I like that.
Just stop in and
Pat
get it.
Well, everybody. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Becky.
I was going to say, everyone's looking for a little opportunity to save a little money right now. So we're happy to help with that.
We all are. Pat and I shared a plate at breakfast this morning. I'm lying. But actually, Pat did make the comment off air about how what you liked about that show was in the dead of winter, you walked in and you smelled flowers and greenery.
Yeah. Good morning, Becky. I just want to tell you that your last name makes me thirsty. Gee, I love your last name.
It, you know, the day to celebrate is coming soon. It's not that far off on the calendar now.
Yeah, I share, you and Pat share ethnicity at some point. You guys might be related back 400 years.
That's my birthday. St. Patrick's Day is my birthday, so.
Oh, well, double reason to celebrate then, right?
Yeah, I try not to anymore. My birthday.
We're too old to celebrate. Praise God we're still alive, right? So,
yeah, I don't think you're
would you consider, you've been to a lot of these shows, Becky, would you consider it a family affair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the best thing is you get your steps in inside where it's warm and not outside in the cold. So there is something for everyone at this show.
I agree. If you just want to go for lunch, you know, a lot of people come down and all they do is go through the area that the Inside Outside guys have with a whole bunch of our team partners right there. And we encourage that as well, and we're going to be giving away some tickets as we move through the balance of today's show. Pat and I will be giving away 4-packs. But you said people can also stop it at a Great Lakes Ace and get if they buy one, they get another ticket. Is that it for an adult admission?
That's the coupon that we're handing out, yes. So if they are not lucky enough to win a free ticket package from you, they can have an alternative way to get into the show.
I like that. And Pat and I, being in business all our lives, and Ken, have always loved the format of a Great Lakes Ace Hardware, just because, A, the people always seemed friendly and informed, and they always seem to have that little piece that you need and have to have right now that you can't get anywhere else. Are you guys still thriving as a business?
We are doing very, very well, yes. We are very fortunate that the people in the neighborhoods that we operate in have come to depend on us to help them with their projects around the house.
God bless you. Are we going to see you next week in Novi?
I said I'll be there. I'll stop by and wave while you're on air. How's that?
Please do, okay?
All right, I will. You guys have a great
We really appreciate
show.
You taking time out today, Becky. Stay well, and we'll see you next Saturday probably then, eh?
Maybe next Sunday.
Okay. One or the other. You
One
come by
other,
and say hello
exactly.
to us.
Exactly. I will.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye, Becky.
So I think not Saturday, Sunday.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally, if you, again, in our history, if you and I ask a woman to meet us at a certain place, she's probably going to lie and go somewhere else that day, right? No, I'm kidding. You and I were talking about furnace filters.
Boy, you didn't forget this stuff.
I wrote it down. You reminded me to write it down. We've only got a couple minutes, but you were talking about the better the filter, the quicker you have to replace it or clean it. The electronic air filters. Are you a big fan?
Yeah, they're all right. That's what you'd use for allergens. I mean, you use a different filter for different things. But one of the very best filtering systems I ever saw out there was made by April Air. It's okay. A combination electronic and media filter. So it's got a big filter in it that slides in and out. And that way you don't have to take it out and wash it, the electronics. Because the other ones have electronic plates on them.
Yep.
And those plates get dirty and you have to wash those. But the little wires that go across are the electricity that goes across. So now instead of collecting on a plate, they collect on a piece of paper and you pull the paper out and replace it. And then
So that's a combination filter. Forgive me for interrupting you. But you don't have to clean the electronic side. Just replace the paper.
Just replace the paper.
I like that.
And April Air makes it. And I'm sure that there's other companies now that make it. But that was one of my favorite.
Can that be retrofitted to anyone that has an electronic unit?
Yes.
Electronic air cleaner?
Yeah, you don't use the same housing. You pull the whole housing out and put a new housing in.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, it can be retrofitted to any furnace.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then did you also say that you can incorporate UV lighting with those?
Well, I did. You could put a UV light in front of it. UV lighting is for microbial pests, so it takes odors out of the air. So, like, if you have wet dogs, you want to use a UV lighting. But there is a company out there now, and I'm afraid you asked me, and my train of thought got derailed, and there are no survivors, right?
All the cars on your train are empty.
There's a company out there that makes one that has a UV light in it, and it's the same thing as an April Air 5000, where it's got the electronic, it's got the paper filter, and it has a UV light in it.
Okay.
So it was really an all-in-one filter that you can use.
In your experience, how long do those UV bulbs last?
1 year. Yeah, you really need to replace them. I think Honeywell came out with one that was every 2 years now.
Okay.
But you really have to see the manufacturer. I mean, it'll still be purple. You know, it'll still look like a black light.
But not effective?
But it's not effective.
Really?
So you have to pull it out and put a new one in every year.
What kind of a price point on average?
The bulb is typically right around $80 to $100 for a new bulb. I'm here to tell you, I 100% guarantee you that they work. It's unbelievable how they work. I put one in a friend's house. It was smoked the little black cigars.
Yep.
And I couldn't stand to be in the house. And his wife was a chain smoker, and he had 8 cats. And I put one in one night, and the next day I had to go to his house, and he stood next to me smoking. I couldn't smell a thing.
Seriously?
No, it's unbelievable. UV lighting is
If I didn't know you better, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
But I promise you that it works like that.
Well, when we come back after the break, we're going to be talking or listening more with Pat Kelly, a mechanical expert in my mind, and that's all that matters, right, Patrick?
Yes.
Any questions you got, feel free to call 888-654-GUYS. Meanwhile, I want to remind you, if you want a kitchen update but you don't want your kitchen torn apart for weeks or months, then you want to be looking over in Livonia at McFarland Painting. Welcome back, everybody. It's Chuck and Pat Kelly. Ken is attending his son's wedding, Joel and Emily. I'm not sure what time you get married today, but God bless both of you. Joel's a great kid. You know him, Pat.
Well, I love both of his kids.
I know.
They're good Americans.
They did
a great job at raising those two boys.
Want to remind listeners there is a way to get free tickets to that show next weekend. If you're caller number 9 at 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0WJR, 1-800-928-0957. You can win 4 tickets to the Novi Home Show January 27th through the 29th at Suburban Collection Showplace. And for a bonus chance to win, text the keyword HOME, H-O-M-E, HOME, to 800-859-0957. For more info and official contest rules, go to WJR.com. And you and I cannot win tickets, Pat?
I know. I tried yesterday. They hung up on me.
Ain't that the way it goes? I know. I was telling you that we used to be given. I mean, they just give us a bunch of tickets. And we would give them away during the shows, you know, for a month before the actual expo. And then we just leave them at will call and people with people's names on the envelopes. And it worked really well, you know. And so I think they're kind of doing something similar to that, except they don't trust us with the tickets anymore.
I wouldn't trust you.
I don't know. I don't blame them a bit. No, I don't blame them a bit. So we were talking about ways to clean the air with filters. And you've always said, I think I quote you correctly on this, that if you don't move air, you can't clean it.
That's true. So, you know, one of the things today is all of new furnaces today starting, and the time eludes me. I think 3 years ago they started with ECM motors. So any new furnace today.
Electronically commuted motor?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's crazy. But anyways, what that means is an AC motor running on DC current.
What does that mean to people?
Well, it means it's a lot cheaper. That's bottom line to it. It's just okay. So if you took your regular furnace, a PSC motor, and you ran it all month, it would probably cost you. And people don't realize they can do that. On your thermostat, there's a hand-off auto, and most people keep it in the auto position. In other words, when it calls for heat or calls for cooling, the fan comes on. But if you just turn that in the on position, it will run all the time.
And you're not going to damage anything?
No, in fact of the matter is, a furnace, the motor is more apt to get damaged starting. When you use the most energy, it's starting a motor.
Like your big V8 out there in the parking lot.
Anytime you start it, it has inrush trying to start that. The capacitor kicks it and it tries to start it. Running it doesn't cost anything. It's the starting it. But, I mean, it does cost something. So let's just say it costs you $20 to $25 a month to run a PSC motor. ECM motor.
One where you just turn it on and you let it run.
You just let it run.
You let it push air through the duct system. Yeah,
because they're cleaning all the time at that point. But more importantly, you're getting a stratification out of the house. So you don't have hot spots and cold spots.
Yeah.
So it just stays an even temperature.
Yep.
New furnaces today have the ECM motor on them. It would cost you about $5 a month to do that all the time. So turn your furnace on and let it rip. What we used to do is we used to sell variable speed motors, and those are quite expensive, but they ramp up and down on call for heating and cooling. But you let them run constantly. You never shut them off, and it uses less energy that way. So it's pretty, and it's one of the few things that the government did that I like.
That last statement is huge. I'm going to repeat it. You said it uses less energy that way.
Running.
Because
the starting is what uses the energy on a motor.
Okay.
So
how long would a motor, forgive me, I don't mean to cut you off, how long would a motor like that last if you installed it, turned it on, and let it go?
Well, an ECM motor is going to last longer than a PCS motor. Yeah.
Is it running cooler, Pat, or no?
Yeah, it runs a lot cooler. It's like the difference between an incandescent bulb and an LED. It's a lot different.
That's a good example.
Yeah. So you can ECM motor, you can expect to get probably 15 years of runtime out of it, just constant run.
So literally, if you turned it on today,
just let it
you
go.
Might replace it in 15 years.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Variable speed, we very seldom replace those. So those run constantly. You never shut off. I might have replaced 6 in my lifetime, and they were all under warranty. Most furnaces today will come with a 10-year parts and labor warranty.
So what furnace comes with a variable speed?
All furnaces make today? All companies that I'm aware of make a variable speed. So here's what a variable speed does.
So I want to buy an Amana furnace.
Variable speed, AMV.
Do I ask for a variable speed?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get it automatically.
Right. No, you don't. But you'll automatically get the ECM motor. So here's the difference.
All new furnaces, forgive me, I just need to, because I'm taking notes as we talk. All new furnaces are going to have the ECM motor that
runs
on DC current.
That's right.
but not all will be variable speed.
That is correct. Sorry. So if you can live with the noise that your furnace makes, the moving of the air.
That was one of my questions on my list here.
If you can live with that noise, then just get a regular furnace and run a regular furnace. If you don't like that noise, then you want variable speed because the noise will come on during call for heat. You'll hear the fan step up. When it gets done, let's just say that it runs at 1,600 CFM, which is cubic foot per minute. Let's say that's what your fan's running at.
Okay.
That would get you in a 1,600, 1,700 square foot home. And let's say that you're running at 1,600 CFM. When it reaches its temperature, it'll ramp down to about 400 CFM. You literally have to go over and put a Kleenex over top the register to see if it's running. You can't.
But it is running and is moving air. Yeah.
Never shut off.
So it is cleaning air.
Yep, always cleaning it.
And you use the word stratification. By pushing that air constantly, you will de-stratify the air temperature-wise?
Yeah, you know how you say, hey, little Mary's bedroom up in a corner is 5 degrees colder? That goes away.
Well, you were talking, too, about basements.
Yep.
And I've always said if temperature were colors, every room in a cube, like our houses, would be a rainbow, right?
Right.
Top to bottom?
Yep.
So you're saying by pushing that air constantly, you can blend all those colors together so it's a monolithic temperature, it's one temperature throughout the house?
I guess that's maybe a psychedelic way of looking at everything.
Yeah, I'm a child of the 60s. So are you, you old dog. Psychedelic. I like that.
No, that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, it just evens it out from top to bottom because typically your return registers are 8 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Your supplies are down on the floor. And so that whole area becomes the same temperature.
I like that. And I like the idea that by moving that air, we can also de-stratify humidity.
Yes.
In the house.
Yeah. Everything gets where you really notice variable speed or running your furnace all the time.
Okay.
Air conditioning. Oh, man, it makes it smell so much fresher. Everything's so much nicer in your home when you're running that fan all the time.
Interesting, because stagnant, moist air is the basement smell, isn't it? It's that musty. I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So let's make it clear for the listening audience. If you got that old furnace with that old AC motor, it's okay to run it. It'll actually maybe last longer than it was going to.
Right. Yeah.
It's just going to cost you an extra maybe $20 a month.
Yeah, very roughly. Good. You just summed that up.
Well, I listen. I'm not good at many things, but when the right people are talking, I'm listening. And every new furnace is going to come with an ECM motor that runs on DC current, which is cheaper to run.
Yes. Lasts longer.
But you recommend if I was having a new furnace installed tomorrow that I ask for the variable speed
highly recommend variable speed for those reasons. ECM motor and the fan constantly runs. And now I would say to you this, if you can put up with the fan noise, just buy a regular furnace.
Don't bother with variable speed.
Variable speed is quite expensive.
I was going to ask you, can you?
There's probably a $400 to $600 difference in the cost of a furnace with variable speed and one without.
Let's put it at the higher. Still
get the same. I still recommend the same two-stage gas valve.
Gotcha.
Two-stage gas valves is really, really important. And I'll explain to you that.
I was going
to
say we're not going to play
You had that question look on your face.
You know me, buddy.
Two-stage means this. 60% of the time in the state of Michigan, you're going to run at 60% of the BTU. So let's just say you buy a 100,000 BTU furnace.
So my furnace has 100,000 BTU output.
So that's like going down the road, turning your fan on high heat, pushing it in your face until you can't take it anymore, and then turn it off. That's what you're doing.
And that's what they typically do. They turn on, ramp up to 100,000 BTU output.
And then turn off. When it satisfies the thermostat, not when it's running all the time.
Not when it's actually comfortable in the house. It just satisfied the thermostat.
When it gets to 5 feet where your thermostat is.
Yeah.
It's gonna
60 inches off the floor.
That, and it's going to shut off.
Okay.
With two-stage, what it does is it comes on 60,000 BTUs, and it runs for 7 minutes. If it doesn't reach temperature in 7 minutes, it steps up to second stage, which would be 100,000 BTU. So it's two things. It's a comfort, and it's some money savings.
I'm going to add a third thing.
Go ahead.
Because you're going to save money. You're going to be more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I think you're also going to lend value to the home in terms of not having those pockets of humidity where mold starts growing and you didn't even know it existed until you, you know, had punky drywall falling under the carpet or something.
Yeah, that works. I you know, it's all part of the, you know, de-stratification. I mean, getting rid of the stratification.
Yeah. I think that's huge. We're not trying to, you know, throw around big words to impress anybody, but we want every listener out there to understand that you do have that stratification because we do live in cubes. When we were teaching the energy efficiency classes 20 years ago and people were starting to build those dome homes, that became one of our issues, as you can imagine. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. Hey, I want to remind everybody that Pat Kelly's here to take any questions you might have on mechanical systems. I don't care if they're geotherms or photovoltaic or steam or forced air, 888-654-GUYS. Meanwhile, if you have the house uglies, you pulled up to your house and it looks terrible, we got a company that can make it look beautiful again. And that company, of course, is Pro Home Improvement. Chuck and Pat Kelly, thank you for being with us today. Thanks, Pat, for driving in and spending time on the show. People love it. We always get great comments. We do. And you bring great donuts. Really. We're talking about stratification of air and what happens in the cubes that we live in. Every room you're sitting in, our listeners at home, is a square or rectangle, right? It's a cube.
Yeah.
And humidity and temperature will accumulate in places where the air doesn't get circulated because of the things you've been talking about, right?
Right.
Do you do that at home? Do you run your fan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, all the time.
Now, you've got two furnaces. You've actually got three, but you don't use one of them, right? You don't use the water furnace so much on the geothermal.
I don't use it to heat with, but I do use it to move air. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of moving air. That's the way you clean it, you know.
Yeah, and we quote you when we tell people to do that.
That's it. You know, again, the only way that you can clean the air in your house is when you're moving the air. So if you're putting your furnace on the auto position, it's only going to clean it when it comes on. It's the only time it can clean it.
Makes sense.
But if you turn your fan in the on position, it can clean it 24 hours.
Are you a fan of the Remy Halo systems? They retrofit, and my understanding is they will change the charge of particulates so that it will
I have one in my geotherm. Yeah, but that's not the name of it. It was a different name. But, I have one in mine. What it does is it charges the particles that get by. And obviously, you want to charge it before it goes into the filter, but sometimes you can't. So it's just a little low-voltage thing you put in, and what happens is your registers will catch the dust. So you're dusting
the
your register.
The faceplate, the louvers on the register will?
Yeah, that's where, you know, it'll catch it, and so you have to dust those more often. But, yeah, I'm a huge fan of cleaning the air if you can.
You notice that on the registers. I don't think you and I have ever talked about the connection between those two.
Yeah.
If you have a Remy Halo system.
Right, and it charges the particle, and as it's getting sucked back in, it catches on the register. So.
Interesting.
But it lets you know your system's working.
Yeah. You just, like you said, you just have to dust those registers more.
And really, realistically, you know, you have to hire somebody like an Amnesty to come and clean your ducts every now and then. I'm a huge fan of Steve at Amnesty. I think it's a great company, and I've sent them tons of work over the years.
Yeah, we think the world of them. What they do is legitimate. Yes. You and I were chatting at breakfast about
this. A lot of people many years ago didn't know about cleaning ductwork. I mean, some people have ductworks that never been cleaned in 30 years, and they really need to be cleaned. Makes a huge difference on everything.
I'm with you 1,000% on
that. Then another thing you were talking about, stratification, and what we're talking about. We were raised to be either too hot or too cold. That's just the way it is. You're in your house, you start getting a little cold, the fan comes on, heats you up. If you got an old oil furnace, it comes on real hot out, you know.
Yeah.
Heats you up, and then you get warmed up, and then you get cold again.
One of those.
Yeah, so the right way to do that is move the air all the time. So my mother, God bless her, she's gone now, but she used to complain. She lived with me, and she'd be sitting over top of the register watching TV, and she'd say, "I'm just chilly." Well, Mom, it's 70 degrees, 72 degrees, and you're sitting where 72 degree air is blowing on you.
Yeah.
So
your core body temperature is 98. Yeah. I mean, that's a big difference. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can set it up, but I got to set the whole house up to 80 degrees. And, well, she didn't want to do that. You know, she just wanted to complain that it was too cold. So that happens with with older people, me included.
Yeah.
As you sit next to the register, that air is cool.
Thin-skinned.
But go look at the thermostat. Whatever you're comfortable at, thermostat's the brain.
It is funny because as a child, you know, we didn't have air conditioning as we know it today.
Didn't need it.
Dad didn't care. He wasn't going to buy it. You know, we slept in the basement this time of year. But your perspective is that we can set that thermostat at a temperature literally and just leave it alone for the year
with new equipment, right? You know, we got hooked into that. Set it at 68 in the winter, 78 in the summer.
We did.
Yeah.
I was in that house.
Save energy thing,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
No, I set mine at 71. It's there all year. I never change it, ever.
And you're probably better off doing that. And do you have variable speed?
I do on the geotherm.
So
not on the other
okay.
furnaces.
Okay. So you're pushing air 24/7?
Yes. Oh. Even with my other furnaces.
You still are.
Yeah. I have a couple other, and that's just a... Just because I'm a techie guy, you know.
I was saving that. I was going to throw it at you. Humidity. Putting humidity in the air this time of year, you got to be careful with that, don't you? How you do it? What system you use?
First, let me explain something to you real quick. That a lot of people have the misconception that a furnace burns the humidity out of the air. It's exactly the opposite. Cold air can't hold humidity. So
right.
If I took... if I went outside and grabbed a jar of air that was 100% relative humidity at this time of the year, close that jar up and bring it in, warm it up to 70, there's nothing in there. So it just doesn't, cold air, so when you're
cold
opening
air doesn't
your door,
have humidity.
Yeah, when you're opening your door or when you're running your furnace, it pulls from around the windows, it pulls cold air in, it's dry. You have to put humidity in it. So that's where the humidification comes into play.
Okay.
It's real important this time of the year. You add humidity. In the summertime, you take humidity out, which is moisture. You're taking it out of your house.
Yep. So how do you add it? I mean, taking out, you run the air conditioner for the most part. But adding it, I think of the old system my dad installed that he thought was, back then it probably was the Cadillac, and this would have been 55 years ago. But it was a wheel that spun, that had a filter on it. And it spun through a tray of water
in the ductwork. Picked up all sorts of Legionnaire's disease. And
God only knows. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's why they got rid of those.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it might explain a lot about me today, actually.
Yeah, but it had some brain thing going on, too. But no, actually, so now what we use is what they call a pass-through humidifier, where water trickles across what looks like an egg crate, and it goes right out to drain. And in the meantime, warm air comes out of your plenum, gets sucked into your return and pushed back out through your plenum again. So picks up that moisture. So one of the things with a geotherm is the plenum temperature isn't warm enough to pick up humidity. Never gets that warm.
That's where my brain was going, because I know you don't have a typical. Okay, go
ahead.
Well,
I have a steamer.
Yeah.
So mine pushes steam into the ductwork, but I also have a pass-through humidifier.
So you're heating the water in order to have the temperature for it to become suspended in the air.
Right. I have to push it into the ductwork and steam.
Okay.
So it goes when I'm using my geotherm. But when I also have a pass-through humidifier. I just got
on your conventional furnace.
Yeah, on my conventional high-efficiency furnace.
And again, that is water running over a surface. The air is being moved past to pick up the water.
Picks up the moisture, and the rest of it goes down. Because the one you used to talk, or the one you were talking about, used to hold water.
Gosh.
And that water would become stagnant and could cause Legionnaire's disease.
And you'd get calcium deposits on it, and whatever was in your water accumulated on that wheel. I remember having to clean that all the time. So in your mind, those are the two better systems. If someone has geotherm, they got a steam.
Well, yeah, but the problem with steam is very expensive. You can imagine. You know, you're running 240 volts to heat something up, make it boil, and then push it into the system. So steam is pretty expensive, but I had to do it before I added my other furnaces.
Because you had no means of getting.
There was no way to get humidity up there. Regular humidifier, I put it on, it doesn't work. So I put steam in, and then I put in another system, and I put regular humidifier on that.
Yeah. My concern has always been that humidistat is going to be a lot of times right in the same place the thermostat is, right?
Right.
All you know is that your humidity is whatever is within a couple feet of that humidistat hanging on the wall in your great room.
Right.
How do you make sure that the humidity is relatively consistent throughout all of the cubic footage in the house?
Run the fan. So you run the fan or variable speed or whatever. But and just so you know, now a lot of the thermostats will handle your humidifier. So you can handle your humidity right from your thermostat. You don't have to have a humidistat.
Well, you were taught this past week, or I guess you probably already knew before you went out to Florida, that your thermostat's going to run life.
I knew that in about 2006.
It's going to get you out of bed and say, Pat, time for breakfast.
They were telling me that all your leads were going to come from digital sources, and I'm like, yeah, right. and the thermostat's going to run the whole house, and I'm like, oh, okay, I believe that.
But
that's what's happening. So.
Wonder, do we have time? We don't have time to take a call. I'm sorry, Tim from Shelby, if you can hang on or call back after the top of the hour. He has a geotherm question and some other questions for Mr. Kelly, so you're going to have time, Pat, to think about it.
Think about what? Geotherm's a big, big subject.
I challenge anybody that can hear me. You'll know the answer to Tim's questions. So, Tim, make sure you give us a buzz back after the top of the hour, please. I didn't realize that you'd already talked for an hour, Pat, and I barely. I'm not going to go there. Hey, it's going to rain. We're going to have issues with some basements where you've got water coming in cracks, water coming up through the floor, water coming in through rod holes, structural issues. If you can hear my voice, we've got a solution for all of those foundation issues. And, of course, it is Foundation Systems of Michigan. Chuck Bridenstine and Pat Kelly today. And Pat's going to answer any mechanical questions you have. Tim from Shelby, very patiently, I think, is still on line one. And he has a geotherm question for you, Patrick.
I like the gerbil better.
Tim, are you still with us?
I am.
Go ahead.
I am.
Good morning, Tim.
Hi there, Pat. I installed a geothermal system in my house 15 years ago.
And good for you.
It was a homemade. I bought the geothermal units, Hydron units, from probably North Dakota or someplace.
Yeah.
It's all stainless steel. And it runs I have two water forced air blowers, one in the basement, one in the upstairs. And I installed a Tryon air cleaners, and both electric and the 5-inch air bears.
Very, very cool.
And,
very cool.
I can guarantee you won't ever see one that's like what I have.
It doesn't sound like it.
It runs water through the air blower systems. And then it comes out of there, and I have it pumped through the basement floor. So runoff, I'm not only heating the air with hot water, or cooling it with the geothermal. After it runs out, it runs through the basement floor and heats it in the wintertime, or cools it in the summertime. But yeah. I wondered if you were talking about the air filters. I don't have any. One of them is the electronic Tron, but I didn't know where the 5-inch air bear fell in those things as far as what you consider for the filter system.
I would have to tell you, Tim, that I wouldn't know on my geotherm. I have different systems, but on my geotherm, it takes a big 4-foot filter in the side of the return. So I haven't had experience with putting in an electronic filter on that. So I'm not sure where I would put one. And I'm sure they make something for it, but I don't know what it is. Mine is a 2-inch filter And it's like a MERV 20.
I think my filter is 20 by 25 and 5 inches thick, and then it's got the similar size for the electronic air filter. And I have it before the filter so that it's cleaning the air before it gets to the filter. I would like you to come out and look at mine if you have a chance. I live in Shelby Township, but I'd like some advice on it, what you think about it. But
I might just do that, Tim, but I would tell you if I can get your number from you, I might do that. But I'm retired and I live in Hillsdale now. So
what's your daily trip fee?
Okay, well, I understand.
Yeah. But I wouldn't mind doing that.
The other thing that I've done is I live near a lake, and so I'm pulling the water from the lake, and the thing that I found is that I don't get consistent water temperature because of temperature migration from the lake.
Yeah. That's right.
And so I had to add a Navion combination boiler and been using it for the last several years in the wintertime because I couldn't get more than about 105 degree water out of the lake from using the lake.
Yeah.
So
tell you what, Tim. I'm sorry. Leave your number with Dave, and he'll pass it on to Pat. We don't want to give it out over the air.
I understand.
You owe anybody money. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
And then Pat will get hold of you after the show, okay?
That'd be great.
God bless you. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Wow. If we have time, I want to ask you some questions about Tim's system, but we've got Frank on the line from Romeo. Can you take another call, Pat?
Absolutely.
Frank, are you with us?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Pat, I love it when you're
on
the air because I have an interest in HVAC, so I love it when you're on the air. So I have a quick question.
Thank you.
So if you want to add a heat recovery ventilator system, I don't know, HVR, EVRs, whatever they're called, I think there might be some differences
There's a difference.
Yeah.
One's for air conditioning as well.
Okay. Can you use the existing cold air returns?
Yes.
Or does it have to be a completely separate system?
No, you use the existing return air. And you, of course, you pipe into that existing return air, you know what I mean? So you're piping in from outside and piping out. But ERV is energy, so it is cooling as well. And HRV is just heating. So in my experience, I like to do both. I want to save energy all year. So, yeah.
Okay,
that's
so
a great
question.
System.
So if I hang,
yes, sir.
If I hang the unit in the basement, can I use the fresh air intake? I have a 6-inch fresh air intake coming into the furnace now, but can I use that to go into the HVR unit, or do I need another separate intake?
You would normally just cut into the return if that's what you're asking me, without doing the fresh air intake. That's totally separate from the ERV as a rule. And Frank, if it's my house, I do things a little differently than I would if it's being inspected. So I'm telling you, if it was being inspected, you would want it separate. In thinking about what you just said, I might end up doing what you're talking about doing. So I think it's okay to do it, but I don't think it's okay for an inspector to see you do it that way.
Okay, gotcha.
I like the way you said
that. And then on the distribution side of it, you'd have to have separate ductwork there, right?
No, ERV runs into your return air, and then your return air sucks it through and puts it through the regular distribution center.
I got it.
And Frank, that's a great project. Oh, the one dumping out is totally. Yeah, the one dumping out is totally separate from anything else. You take it and dump it outside.
Right, but that was my question. The one that's the side that's dumping out, pushing the air back into the house. Does that go into your existing ductwork, or does that have to have separate ductwork, separate registers?
No, nope. It goes right back into your existing duct.
Okay, great. That's doable. Then I'm going to add one. I'm going to absolutely add one in the house. So
good
now,
for
then
you,
the other
Frank.
Question is: if you have that filtering all the time, then you don't need to leave your furnace running all the time. Or would you do both?
Well, I would do both. I would definitely leave my furnace running. Because when, especially this time of the year, you're going to be pulling in cool air. So you want it heated up.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, got absolutely it. Run that furnace. Frank, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank.
Great. You have a good day.
Good job, Pat. Hey, I want to remind everybody, if you're looking to replace the windows in the house, why not do it one last time and never worry about it again with a window that's got a lifetime guarantee on the glass, on the screens, on the sash, on the frame, on the install. And, of course, the company we know that does that for you is Window World. Chuck Bridenstine and Pat Kelly for all your mechanical questions. And we're going to run out of this. These shows always go way too fast. But we invite your calls, 888-654-4897. Some great questions, Pat. You guys were talking about ERV, energy recovery ventilator, and HRVs, heat recovery ventilators. What the heck are those, and why do we bother? Why do we use them? Does everybody have one in their house and they don't know it?
Well, a lot of new construction will require an HRV, which is a heat recovery ventilator. So anytime you're exhausting, you're not exhausting straight tempered heat outside. It'll have a wheel in it that catches some of that heat and brings it back into your house.
Recovers it and brings it back in the house instead of just dumping it outside.
Just dumping it all outside. An ERV is the same thing, but they call it an energy recovery unit.
Yeah.
What an energy recovery unit does is does the same thing on air conditioning. So if you're spending a lot of money air conditioning your house, you're not just dumping it outside. It's taking that cool air through that wheel and bringing it back in.
So it's one of our improved methodologies of bringing fresh air into the home, but not spending money on conditioning air that we just dump outside.
Well, you remember I used to have this thing with Lee when, you know, he was in home.
Lee Schwartz, the chief lobbyist or former.
Well, the state makes you bring in 12 inches of outside air and heat it and then throw it in your house.
12 inches?
Most homes are 12 inches, 2 6-inch pipes.
So when you say that, forgive me, I'm just thinking of all the listeners out there. I'm the guy in the car driving down the road, 2 6-inch diameter pipes to bring in fresh air.
Yep, to bring in fresh air into your house. And then, so if it's zero outside, you're bringing in fresh air and heating it. And then they make you insulate your walls and your ceilings even more. So it drives me nuts what they're doing with this stuff. You know, let's take this and move
it. You see contradictions in what they...
Oh, man, it drives me nuts.
So we used to teach about what I called spot ERVs or HRVs. We're literally in a great room, a big family room. We'd cut a hole in the wall and maybe put an ERV in that hole, right?
Yep.
For that room. Right. You were talking about whole house systems?
Yeah. The spot ones went away. I'm sorry to say this to you, but probably went away 20 years ago. So ERVs now are
You're saying I'm an old guy.
Yeah, ERVs now are whole house. So you're taking it and dumping it right back into the return air. So it's really a great system. When I retired from Plymouth Canton Schools in 1999,
and you call me old?
Yeah. Well, just before I did, we had the opportunity to design schools, and one of the things that we were doing is using heat pumps. And but ERVs are the most important. You know, that's just
now
a
you're
big
using
bacteria.
Air source heat pumps probably for that, right? Or were you using water source?
No, we were using water source heat pumps, not groundwater, just loop water. You know,
that's why. I wouldn't have thought groundwater.
But anyways. So it was we had some great stuff going on there. But the biggest thing, the biggest number one thing we did was the last, and I'm sure they continued that, but the last two schools they built after I left had big ERVs in there. So we're removing all that bacteria for the, you know, kids. I used to hate to send my kid to school. She'd come home sick all the time. I mean, everything, you know. So you got to get rid of some of that stuff and then bring in fresh air for them. So we were using ERVs. So it was pretty cool.
It's an economical way to get fresh air into a building, right?
Yeah.
That's tight.
Yes.
I like that. And if someone wanted to retrofit one of those to an existing forced air system in their home, they could do that?
Yes. Yes, you can. The other thing that happened with the school districts, just so you know, is they came along when they built the schools, had tons of windows, and they came along and said, we can save you energy by boarding up these windows. So they'd board up windows. Well, now you can't get fresh air in. Kids are getting sick.
I remember that.
Yeah.
taking place. Hey, on line one, we've got Carl from Brighton. He's got a couple of questions. He thinks he can stump you, Pat.
And I'm sure he can.
I'm kidding. Carl, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You've got Mr. Kelly.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning, Carl.
Good morning. On a really cold day, we get condensation on our window sashes. Other than that, we don't ever get it. Yeah. Is it we have too much humidity, possibly? Or
no, it is, but it changes with outside air temp. So if you look at your humidistat, which should be on your furnace return, you might have it on your wall upstairs, you'll see that it changes
wall,
with temperature. Yeah, you're supposed to set it with outside air temperature. So when the temperature reaches, zero, you're supposed to set it down to less because your humidity will condensate faster on your windows the colder it gets. So you should be turning down your humidity at that point and then turn it back up. Now, Carl,
turn it back up when it gets warmer outside?
Yeah, it kind of sounds weird, but that's the way it's works. It's just to keep the window off or the condensate off the windows. Carl, I would tell you that at my house, and this is just me, I love a little condensate on the windows because it keeps my nose from drying out. So I like.
Well, you also told me it sets up romantic moments between you and your wife.
Yeah, right. Whatever it does that.
Well, my wife was worried about the windows rotting out.
Mold. Mold and stuff like that. I had wood windows in my Plymouth home, and they would get a little moldy and possibly rot. But that's where I had to have mine at 45%. But anyways, you can play with that humidistat, or you can I believe Honeywell makes one now, a thermostat that controls your humidity, and you set it for whatever you want it. So if you set it like 55%, it automatically adjusts up and down to keep you at 50%.
Yeah, we have 55. It set at 50.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, I'm pretty sure it's a smart thermostat. We've got geothermal too.
Oh, do you?
Carl,
how do you like that geotherm?
Well, I think it takes a lot of electricity to run it, but put in
so
solar panels.
That's why,
kind of
that's why
that.
Pat's got two other furnaces.
I have 20 kW of solar, too, so I got you.
Well, I don't have any solar heat, but I do have solar for the electrical. And the second question I have is we have a central fan that runs all their bathrooms.
Yes.
And it's supposed to get turned on when you turn the light on, but it seems to me like it runs all the time. Is that possible?
It is possible. If it's running all the time, have somebody look at it because there's two different ways of setting that up. That is a ERV or an HRV. That's exactly what we were talking about earlier. So there's two different ways of running that. That can be controlled by every time you turn on your exhaust fan, or you can run it all the time. So I don't know how they got yours set up, but it is possible, Carl.
Can we continue this after the break, guys? Carl, are you feel free to hang on or just sit back and listen.
Sure.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, you got another question. I'll hang on.
Good.
Okay, thanks, Carl.
Hang on, Carl. Appreciate it. Hey, I want to remind everybody, if you've got any perceived issues with masonry fireplaces, brick around your home, concrete around your home, we've got a single source that can handle it professionally for you. And, of course, you can find Brickworks by dialing 877-MASONRY. Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. I want to remind everybody, if you're the ninth caller at 800-859-0WJR, you can win four tickets to the Novi Home Show January 27th through the 29th at the Suburban Collection Showplace. We'll be there next week. Pat's going to come by for coffee. For a bonus chance to win, text keyword HOME to 800-859-0957. And for more info or official contest rules, you can go to WJR.com. Carl, are you still on the phone with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, Pat's still
here
to talk to. Go
ahead. I have one more question for Mr. Kelly.
Thank you.
My HVA people say they have that fan turned down to the minimum amount. It still seems like it runs a lot to me. What would happen if I turned it off?
Nothing happens to turn off. Put it in the auto position. It'll only come on for heating and cool, on call for heat or on call for cool. But, Carl, I highly recommend that you put your furnace in the on position. and leave it running. Your furnace especially, I'm going to guess, is variable speed.
Well, my furnace runs continuously. It has the continuous fan.
Right. Yeah, does it? Can you hear it drop down in temperature, or is it a continuous fan? Which one? Because a variable speed.
It's continuous.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. It is a variable speed, I believe, yeah.
Okay, variable speed's made to run all the time. Now, you can turn it down. You can turn it in auto if you want to, but you're going to get hot spots, cold spots in your house like you used to be. And it's not that big of a deal. You can do it. But I promise you, you'll be putting it back in on position.
I'm not talking about the furnace fan. I'm worried about the bathroom fans.
I'm sorry.
That's at the lowest setting now. And if I undid it all together, what would my repercussions do?
You can set that up so it only comes on when you turn on the exhaust fan. You can do that. There's two different ways of setting up that ERV or HRV, whichever one you have. And that is to set it up on continuous run or set it up where it runs only when you turn on the fan. Be honest with you, I would set it up so it only turns on when you're running the fan. That's the only time I'd run it. But that's me.
Does that make sense, Carl?
I don't know how it works myself. I don't know how to do it myself, but... My heating guys told me that that's the way they had it at the lowest setting possible. But
well, you
it seems
again
to me every time I walk in the bathroom, even if I don't turn the light on, it shows that it's on.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, Carl. There's two different ways to set it up. Now, what they told you is, yeah, it's setting on the low speed. You got low, medium, and high. But there's also two different ways to start it. You can either run it all the time, or only come on with the switch when you turn on your light switch or your fan switch in the bathroom.
So he could have it redone, Pat.
Yeah, he can have it. You can have that. Your HVAC guys can do that for you. They can set it up so it only runs with a fan switch. Somebody can do that for you. Okay?
But there's not a setting on the machine where I could do it myself?
I don't know your equipment. I would certainly look into that and just Google your equipment. It'll tell you how to set that up. Yeah, I'm certain you can do it yourself, Carl.
It's an SP brand, is what it says on the housing.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Mine could have been the ones I was putting in 3 years ago could have been SP brand, but I'm not real familiar with.
Are
that,
those
to be
typically
honest
with you. A DC fan or
yeah,
an
that's
AC?
Going to be an ECM motor. Yeah,
okay,
that motor on
even
there,
on
so.
The HRV.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, it's going to be an ECM motor. So, but again, if you Google that, it'll tell you more about that. But there is definitely two different ways of working that. And the one that you would want is the one that I would want. Okay?
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl. Have a good day.
Appreciate your call. Good questions. Great questions, eh?
Well,
now,
yeah, technical.
Geotherm.
Oh, hold on. I want to call out to my brother, Bill, who's been listening to us. And
hey, this is about the audience.
Hey, Bill, I love you. So, okay, go ahead. Let's go.
I got to tell Bill that you and I talk about empty cars on our brain train here. You and I, for the last, four breaks, have been going, oh, shoot.
Yep.
You still didn't say hi to Bill.
So, Geotherm.
Give the audience a quick rundown on what is Geotherm.
Well, Geotherm, and there's several different kinds. When I talked to Tim from Shelby, he's using what we call a pump and dump. But there's several different kinds of geotherm. What geotherm does is it relies on groundwater to heat and cool with. So, for instance, in mine, the temperature starts at 58 degrees. 58 degrees can be heating, but it's definitely cooling.
So you're running pipe with water in it
down
in the ground where it's constantly 58 degrees.
Yeah, mine's a closed-loop system. It's glycol, so it's like a radiator fluid. And it goes outside, and when it comes back in, it comes in 58 degrees.
It's a loop of pipe underground.
Yep. Okay. So what Tim's doing from Shelby is he's pulling it in out of a lake. And whatever the temp is,
yeah,
and sometimes isn't enough because of that. But mine is 20 feet under. You got to be at least 6 feet under. Anytime you're 6 feet underground, it's 58 degrees.
So you've got a closed loop system that takes advantage of constant ground temperature. Tim is pumping water out of the lake and then back into the lake after he extracts heat or puts heat into it, depending on whether it's heating or cooling.
Yeah.
So when you bring 58 degree glycol through that closed loop system into a manifold, your starting point for heating your house is 58 degrees.
Right. And that sounds like it's cold, but I can never freeze. And 58 right. is pretty warm if it's zero
so
outside.
You only have to bring it from 58 to whatever
100 degrees typically on a geotherm. It's right okay. at 100 degree discharge temp. So you've got an air compressor. A condensing unit. It's much like an air conditioner, except for it's got a reversing valve in it. So it reverses and it makes heated gases instead of cooled gases. And that goes through the coil, heats that water up, and then you get a 100 degree discharge. I also have takes another technical thing. It takes superheat off the top of the gases and heats my hot water at 104 degrees.
So you're also using your system for domestic hot water.
Yeah. And it's a great system. Everybody says it's the cheapest way to go. I would tell you that definitely the cheapest way to go for air conditioning, not so much for heating. So yeah. that's why I have backup.
So you bring 58 degree glycol out of the ground. Yep. And you put heat into it when you're air conditioning in July, right? You're taking heat out of the house and putting it into that glycol, yeah. pumping it back into the ground,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And hopefully it comes back at 58.
I have 1,600 feet going around.
I was going to ask you how many lineal feet.
Yeah, I have 6 tons of air conditioning, which it's a 6-ton compressor, but it took 1,600.
You got mad at me one time. We talked about what a ton represented.
Yeah, it's just a whole nother.
And I think section. It was the heat required to melt 2,000 pounds of ice.
Whatever.
Was a ton. Whatever.
It's a BTU.
I can't remember how to get home, but I remember stuff like that. So geotherm, at one time, we were thinking, boy, that's the answer to every question we've got about heating and cooling houses. You still think it is? Do you think it's worth?
I don't think you heard that come from my lips, but
no,
that's because I never had it. But I I installed it in the old farm that I bought, yeah. and because
you've got it,
I've always read it's the cheapest and it's the best and whatever. So I put it in, and not so much.
Sounds like a pricey system to install.
Oh, it depends on if you're doing one today. I would highly recommend that you do it on a new construction home because you get 30% back. So when you get 30% back, you're doing it for about the same.
So your buddy Joe is going to pay for a third of that then?
What's that?
Your buddy Joe is going to pay for it.
Yeah. You pick up on a third of that. So anyways, that 30% back, so let's just say that a ranch home would cost you $20,000 to do the heating and cooling. That's all the duct work.
Is that roughly what you think it would be today in that range?
That's a good question. Probably more like 25 today because that was 3 years ago.
Hope you don't mind.
And it's probably around 25,000 to do it. And it might cost you 30,000 to do geotherm.
Oh, okay.
But you get 30% of it back. So you're right back at the same cost.
So you spent 16% more, but you get 30% back.
Right.
And that's a tax credit, Pat?
Yeah, you get it as they actually write you a check for it. It's not a refund. It's a rebate.
Okay.
So 30% back on whatever you do. So again, you just got to look at the ROI, what makes a difference. But I would tell you, I wish they made, and maybe they do now, but nothing I've read yet. I wish they made a natural gas backup. So if your system, the problem with geotherm today is it's made to be all electric.
That's what one of our callers, I think, was talking, Frank.
Yeah, if it's not making enough heat with that backup compressor, electric strip heat comes on. Very expensive to run. So I have a propane furnace because I live in the country, so I piped in a propane furnace to the heating system, so it's got propane.
So your backup is another furnace that runs on propane.
Actually, my backup's my geotherm, but that's a whole other story.
Okay.
But cooling, you get free cooling. It's free. 58 degrees is great cooling, and you can keep your house at 71.
The electricity that it takes to run that in the cooling cycle
it's
is
got
nominal.
The ECM variable speed motor, so it costs you, maybe $5 a month, maybe.
Wow.
So it's nothing.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. How about a couple things? I don't know if we're going to have time. We'll be going to break in just a second, but maybe give some thought. In-floor heating systems. I know in one of the buildings you put on your property, you've got a concrete floor that has zoned heat in the floor.
Yeah, that's the cat's patootie right there. That's
you love kid. That.
Oh, absolutely. Love it. I mean, that's the way to heat if you can. If you want to heat your bathroom, you want to heat even your living room. Really, the way to go is in-floor heat if you're building a home. That's the great way to go.
Let's chat about that and generators when we come back. We've only got one segment, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Boy, oh, boy. Crazy.
Hey, did God just blink or...
Yes, the light just blinked in here.
I didn't know who was doing
God
that.
God just winked at us. Hey, I want to remind everybody, we've got a company that can furnish clean, healthy air through your duct system to you 24/7, and they've got a lot of different ways to do it. And, of course, that company is Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning and Insulation. Actually, Chuck and Pat Kelly, in the interest of transparency. Pat, we've talked our way through another show already, but people love it when you're on. Let me ask you, I know you were attending classes in Orlando put on by Generac. What's the future of electricity energy generation in homes as you see it?
Well, Generac is the future of energy, no doubt. They blow everybody else away.
Why do you say that?
Oh, their warranties are better than anybody.
Seriously?
Their training is better than anybody. I've been to them all.
And you truly, I got to push you on this for our audience.
I have two homes, and both of them have Generac generators.
So the warranty?
I would never buy anything but.
Wow.
I promise you that, yeah.
And this is a guy that came up through Honda and Kohler and Cummins.
All of them.
And
Cummins was a good generator, and Ken's got a Cummins. He's got a beautiful generator. But
I think of the Honda. I think three I mentioned, I'd have bought any of them.
Yeah.
But you're saying Generac has come far.
They're the leader of the pack. They are the Kleenex of energy.
Are they?
Of generators. Yeah, people say, I want a Generac.
Commercial or residential?
Yeah. Yeah, their technology is just there. They own the market. They own 82% of the market share. So for
do they own it because I'm sorry, I know I keep cutting you off. That's I apologize. Right. Do they own it because they bought it, or because they build a great product now?
I think the answer to that is because it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, they buy up things like Ecobee thermostats because they know that the future of the house is
they bought
the thermostat.
A good company.
Well, that was the first smart thermostat on the market.
I remember that name from our classes, our curriculum.
Yeah, that Ecobee that's what I used to love to use.
Okay.
Well, they bought that company. They bought DR products, you know, the lawn equipment where you go out.
My brain went there and I'm going, what?
Well, they buy up a lot of things, but that's not why they own the generator business. They own the generator business because they're the best. They are in their warranty. As you know, I was an HVAC tech.
Yeah.
And the owner of a company.
I trust your opinion.
We worked on Carrier, Lennox, you name it. We've done work on it. Only one stands out in warranty, and that's Generac. They're just phenomenal.
Wow.
So anyways, great company. I can't say enough good things about them. As you know, I'm retired. I'm not doing that really anymore. I'm still invited.
That's a relative word where Pat Kelly's concerned. Let's be honest.
Well, I'm still invited.
You're only doing like 40 hours a week now.
Yeah. I'm still invited to the conferences, so I was down there, talked to all the big shots down there. They're great people.
You use the phrase inverted technology with me.
Yeah.
Is that something people are going to hear more of? What the heck is it?
Yeah, the whole that's not Generac, but however, that is mostly heat pumps and mini splits. You've heard that word mini splits before.
You introduced us to Mitsubishi and Daikin mini splits years ago.
Yeah, and Fujitsu. I'm surprised that Generac hasn't bought something because that's the industry. That's where it's headed. We're headed to all electric, no gas, as much as I don't like it.
I used to love you until you said that.
Ann Arbor's going to be no gas in September.
You and I can't be friends if you feel that way.
I didn't. I hate the fact that they're going to get rid of gas, but that's what they're doing. So today, I already explained to you that 30% of all homes out there today are all electric. And today,
wait a minute. 30% of homes in this country are all electric?
As you know, mine was all electric until I bastardized it.
I hadn't thought of that, until you went to the propane furnace.
Yeah. And so I was all electric.
That's right.
And so now 50% of every home being built today, 50% is all electric. They're getting away from the gas. And again, I don't like it, but So here's where the industry's heading. It's heading towards, they're looking at an H2O generator. It's just something they're looking at right now. And I saw
something to generate water or uses water.
Generate water generates electricity. So they've got, I looked at their prototype already.
Like the hydrogen type motors? Okay, sorry.
Yeah. And then they're headed, the big one they're headed for is solar storage. So they're using solar.
Is that going to be feasible?
Yeah, it's feasible right now. And in fact, I'm going to do some sort of storage on my solar, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But what happens is they just changed our electricity rates to time of day rates. So what that means is, from 11 o'clock at night until 7 in the morning, I can charge my little clown car that I have. From 7
and Pat does have one, by the way, people.
From 7 to like 3 o'clock is your standard time. That's when you're getting charged 12 or 14 cents a kilowatt hour. And then from 3 to 11 is prime time. That's when everybody's home from work. It's the hottest part of the day. That's when your air conditioners are running.
Yeah.
And that's when they charge you the most.
In California, they shut off your electricity during those hours.
Yeah. So what you can do now is, if you have storage, is you can make it during the day on solar, and then the storage means battery backup, and you can make it on a day during the day, and then at nighttime you can use it. So it makes your electricity bill cheaper.
You'd have to have batteries to store it.
Yeah, it's called storage. It's solar storage.
Those banks are so expensive.
No, they're coming.
Is that going to?
But to give you an example, like I can put up 210 kWs. For about $15,000, they're called Powerwall, Tesla Powerwall. But what they're coming out with...
$15,000 a piece?
No, for two of them. I'd use two
so
of them.
So would 20K run a typical house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll run good. But so what they have now, starting now, is they're using bi-directional charging on the new vehicles. So you can use your battery, you can plug it in and charge it, and then at nighttime you can use that electricity for your house.
Like they show on the pickup ads?
Yeah. Yeah, the Ford Raptor.
You and I got to talk more about all this stuff. Maybe when Ken's back, right? I God love you. I appreciate you being here, buddy.
I'm glad to be here.
I wish we could get you in here. Buddy. Yeah, and our audience loves you to death. So, Mr. Pat Kelly, hopefully we can get you back here soon. We want to thank everybody. We want to thank Dave Rieger back at the studio for all that he does to make us sound good. And, of course, you, the audience, because from the roof to the basement, the street to the back fence, if you need it, the inside outside guys are here for you today and every day.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.